Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Coach, tough loss again, 25-10 to Las Vegas, and we seem to be kind of living this tale of two halves week in and week out. And it's just tough. You look at week 16 and 17, no points in the second half, week 14 and 15, only 7 points in the first half. So, man, it's just so hard to overcome when you can't get that full game.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. You know, it's been a situation where really the last few games here, we're just not producing enough points on offense, you know, and unfortunately it's twofold. We haven't done a great job of getting off the field the last couple of games in the first half on defense. And that's, you know, really affected the time of possession against us. And we've had very limited amount of plays. And so, you know, it's never one thing. It's always a couple deals. But, you know, for sure, we had some opportunities here yesterday offensively that a couple plays down inside the red zone that get called back for penalties. And those are big time killers. So look to find a way to bounce back this week.
Coach Rizzi, exactly like you said, you know, you cannot have 9 penalties or more. This is an old school stat. 9 penalties or more around 100 yards, that's like giving up a touchdown. Well, we ended up having 10 penalties, but we'd have a big play, and then it'd be nullified because of a penalty. I mean, think about, you know, the ebb and flow of a game. You might say, well, it is what it is. But just to start the game, how that unfolded, if, I don't know, if Grandison doesn't jump off sides, we're going to force it 3 and out. And we come away with a sack. Brian Brzee, minus 9 yards. So when y'all evaluate that, do y'all make the players aware of that, obviously?
Yeah, Bobby, we actually watched that sequence, actually watched a bunch of those sequences in the team meeting this morning. You know, that play, the penalty that you're referring to on Carl, where he jumped in a neutral zone, and then, you know, we get the sack, you know, subsequently after that. They had the ball for 7.5 minutes and 14 more plays. And so, you know, that's a half of a quarter. And, yeah, it certainly affects the rest of the game. And then, you know, we did it to ourselves again offensively on our first drive. We had the ball at the plus 37-yard line. We're going to go for it on 4th and 5, and we jump off sides, and now all of a sudden we're at the 42. You know, we got a punt. So, yeah, listen, those are self-inflicted, and there's no two ways around it. I mean, it is what it is. It's something we got to be better at. It's 2 weeks in a row we've cost ourselves a little bit defensively. We jump in the neutral zone on some hard counts, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. It completely affects the rest of the game, no doubt. We had 2 plays offensively that got down inside the 5. In fact, I think Juwan's might have been a touchdown when you look back at it, the one he rolled into the end zone. And both of those plays get called back for penalties. So yeah, just they were killers. There's no escaping it. It is what it is.
Now, Coach Rizzi, I think coming into the game, and I know you challenged the team that, you know, can you stop the run or can you run the football? That's kind of old school. And I'm just looking at Abdullah, an old NFL veteran. He topped 100 yards for the first time in his career. He's played 141 games. And they were able to have success in the first half, ended up having 158 yards. To me, that you got to look within as a defensive unit, and I know you probably challenged the defense, that even though the Raiders were dead last, only rushing for 77.5 yards a game, that they felt like they could run against us and having 38 rushing attempts. Now they had the lead, but that's something, that to me, that's man-to-man. That's not no trick play or no finesse crap. When that happens, that as a player, and you in the defense, man, you got to look in the mirror and say, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, Bob, there was a couple of runs in particular. You know, the one run, I think we had him first and 12 from like the 3-yard line or 2nd and 12. And when we had him backed up there and they ripped off a 17-yard run, you know, that was a big play in the game because we had him backed up. We just made a nice play on a punt play. They had a holding call that was half the distance, and we had him in the shadows of the goalposts. And, you know, then they rip off a 17-yarder. And then there's a couple of more that were, you know, some 12-yard run. I think they had a 10-yard run on 3rd down, which was a big one. And then and then one more in particular. Those are the backbreakers. Agreed. You know, I'll give them credit. They did a nice job schematically running the football. But, you know, it's something that, you know, we've been too hot and cold on all year, and we haven't been good enough on, you know, yards per carry. And that was a story again yesterday. You know, we've been hot and cold in that area because there were some games earlier that, you know, we did a good job. We did a good job against Washington. We did a good job against the Rams, against the Giants, but the last couple, not good enough.
Coach, talk about the, I guess, evolution in the, of what is happening with Spencer and how he is progressing. Second quarter, first half yesterday, he's 11 of 13. Man, it had clicked off like 10, 11 in a row, then finished 20 of 36. There just seems to be, again, I know I'm back to that tale of two halves thing, but for Spencer specifically, the difference and the adjustments that teams make.
Yeah, you look at his first half statistically, like you said, and he actually played a really clean half. I think he had one throwaway on purpose, another drop, and so, you know, that's his 13 throws in the first half. And you know, then you look at the second half. I think on the day we had 7 or 8 balls that were dropped that need to get caught. We had a couple of pass protection breakdowns where he actually made some plays with his feet. So, you know, I've been asked a couple times about evaluating his overall performance yesterday. It's a little bit of an incomplete because, you know, it's a little bit unfair to judge him in some aspects because he was kind of had to move on the run, and then he delivered some balls that should have been caught. Now, he certainly had about 3 to 5 throws in the game that we pointed out today, you know, in front of the team that he's got to make in some big situations. There's a play there to Dante Pettis at the end of the game. There's another one to Juwan on a third down where they're open. He's got to make the throw, but he did have some big time throws. I mean, he had a big time throw to Kevin Austin before the half, where we get a field goal there. I thought he handled himself really good in the 2-minute drill, you know, at the end of the first half there. But again, it goes back to, you know, not really giving him as much help. So, you know, it's the negative plays, it's the interceptions. He throws a high ball there to Cedric where it gets tipped up in the air, and then he throws one, you know, into double coverage later in the game there. And then another one that their linebacker Spillane dropped. So we got to get rid of those 3 to 5 throws a game that you know, are negative, because there really are some things that he's done well.
You know, Coach Rizzi, along those lines, yeah, you got to protect the football. You got to take it away. At the beginning of the year, we've talked to you about this before. We were outstanding. We were taking the football away. But as of late, I mean, look, we're -2 in back-to-back games. Come on, the percentages are against you. We're -3 for the season. Looking at the Raiders, they were, -17 coming into the game. That's not winning football. That was one before last. And to me, that's still mind-boggling. Last year, we were +11. I want to say we were like +4. We were training that way. But it seems like, well, the back end of the season, we weren't taking away the football, and it was too much. We were even instead of being on that plus side. For instance, I can tell you one reason why we had a chance to beat the Eagles in the Dome. And, you know, we had, a 5-point lead with under 2 minutes, and then we run into each other. But we took away the football that game. And that's why we had a chance. And look where Philly's at right now and getting ready for the postseason. So even something as simple as that, when y'all watch it, I mean, when you have the meetings, I mean, like the coaches or different position groups, is it just a cyclical? I mean, as far as taking the football away and maybe not taking it away? Because as of late, no, we have not been opportunistic.
Yeah, Bobby, I can't disagree with that. You know, it's all about opportunities. You know, there was a couple opportunities yesterday to take the ball away, which we didn't come away with the ball. You know, Honey Badger had a really good break on a deep ball off his fingertips. He had another really good break on an over route where he kind of comes down hard and breaks up the pass where, you know, earlier in the year, we were coming down with those balls. And also, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have forced 13 fumbles on the year and have only recovered 3. And so, you know, we haven't done a good enough job, you know, getting the ball out. I think there's a couple of plays there in the pocket, you know, with the quarterbacks where we could do a better job having awareness of getting the ball out on some sack fumbles. But, you know, we've had some opportunities that we haven't cashed in on. And listen, everything you said, I agree with. Turnovers are the great equalizer. You come up with the best game plan in the world, and if you turn the ball over, you're going to have a problem, and your opponent can have the best game plan in the world, and if you take the ball away, all that's irrelevant. So, yeah, we've got to get back to that this week. It's something that's gone away for the last 4 or 5 games, us taking the ball away. It's something that we've certainly emphasized and certainly want to get back to for sure.
Need to take a break. This is the Saints Coaches Show, the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Back after this. Welcome back. Mike Austin, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. And Coach Rizzi, nobody questions the heart and the skill of Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, he's just frustrated, right? He said yesterday after the game, talked about too many walkthroughs. But really what it's done, it's put a spotlight, kind of, he walked it all back and talked about it, you know, kind of misspoke today, but it has put a spotlight on really the limitations that you have as far as padded practices during the regular season.
Yeah, listen, there's no one that loves Honey Badger more than me, and how passionate he is, and his leadership's been unbelievable. I think what he's referring to in the big picture are a few different things. I mean, first of all, you know, he's been a couple different places where they do things differently, which is great. He's been on some championship teams, and he's done a bunch of different ways. And you know, Mike, when I took over, obviously we were in a stretch there where we lost seven games and we had a bunch of injuries and whatnot. So we, as you guys are well aware of, we had to kind of evaluate everything and where we stood and everything. So. You know, we were in the middle of a situation where, you know, we had a bunch of injuries, and, you know, really at that point had to evaluate how we're going to practice. And we had a bunch of soft tissue injuries in practice. We had a bunch of soft tissue injuries in games. And so, you know, listen, over the course of the years, I've done a lot of investigating and a lot of background on practices around the league, the 32 teams. It was one of my duties as assistant head coach all these years to kind of evaluate how we practice. And really, we're not much different than any other team the way they're practicing right now. And you mentioned the NFL limitations. You know, most fans would be surprised that during the course of an NFL season, you're only allowed to have 14 padded practices, you know, for the whole entire season. I mean, heck, when Bobby was playing, they had 14 padded practices in the first 2 weeks of the season. So, you know, you can only have 14 padded practices the entire year, and you can only have three of those in the last 6 weeks, and you can only have one of those, you know, per week. So there's definitely some restrictions and some limitations on how often you could practice tackling and all that. And so, you know, I really think that's kind of what Tyrann was referring to. Listen, the way we've done it, we've been fortunate here. You know, over the course of the last 7 weeks, we've zero soft tissue injuries in practice. We have zero soft tissue injuries, or excuse me, we have one in the game, which was Alvin's on that touchdown catch. And so, you know, we've done a great job there of keeping the guys healthy and fresh. Now, you know, when I took over, we won three out of the first four games. So I really don't think practice, you know, was an issue the way we were practicing. What Honey Badge is referring to is kind of the limitations and the way that the NFL, you know, set up is kind of done. Now, listen, during training camp, we get a lot of hard work. We get a lot of practice time. We get a lot of padded practices, and that's where all that fundamental technique, blocking, tackling, that's where all that stuff gets worked on. So, you know, but there is some limitations for sure. And, you know, we were kind of had to find a happy medium when I took over on the best way to practice and with an injured team, and the best way to kind of do it to avoid injuries.
You know, Coach Rizzi, you mentioned Alvin Kamara, and obviously you can see the difference he makes in the running game when all said and done. You know, yesterday we only had, when I'm looking at it, and Rattler, I don't know, 2 weeks in a row, the quarterback's the leading rusher. I would tend to believe if Alvin Kamara is playing, that's probably maybe not the case. You know, Kendrick Miller, he gets knocked out. He's not been available. When I look at Alvin Kamara, fans have asked me, and I said, I think he probably would want to achieve this. He might have an incentive in his contract. He needs, seven more yards to get to 1,500 total yards from scrimmage and 50 yards to be surprising his first 1,000-yard season as far as a rusher. Then Derek with his hand. And then you look at the significant impact in the NFC South. Now, some Houdat Nation fans will say, well, we don't want Atlanta in the postseason. But Tampa Bay has to win. And I know it's a challenge. It's a lot of pride. You play in the NFC South. But what do you think going forward? Is that still up? That maybe Carr has a chance in Kamara? Or would you see maybe Alvin Kamara more than Derek Carr?
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, I know you touched on a few things there. I'll hit them one at a time. I mean, listen, as far as the rushing attempts from the game go, I would say this. You know, it was a little bit of a perfect storm. Obviously, we didn't have Alvin number one. Number two, Kendre actually was running the ball fairly well there in the beginning, and he got knocked out with a concussion. He was out for the game. And then thirdly, we fell behind. So the rushing stats obviously get a little bit skewed. I think we only had 10 handoffs to the running backs for that game. That's not typical of our offense, but we were playing from behind there, two-minute drill kind of tempo and on the ball, and had to throw probably more – not probably – we had to throw more than we wanted to, you know, going into the game. So that's kind of the rushing numbers. As far as the injuries go, listen, I had Alvin in my office today. You know, this guy wants to play. I can't speak on contracts and bonuses and all that. I have absolutely no idea, and I'm not lying when I say that. If he's got an incentive, I don't know about it. But I know this guy, you know, Alvin has been unbelievable since he's been hurt. He's been wanting to get back. He wants to finish the season. He's doing everything he possibly can, you know, from a rehab standpoint to get back. We're not just going to throw him out there just to have him go out there and get 50 more yards. That's not going to be the case. If he can play, he can be effective, then certainly we want him to be out there because he's a game changer. As far as Derek goes, you know, Derek tried to simulate what a game would look like last week with his left hand. It didn't go great from a grip strength standpoint on that left hand. That was the middle of last week. We're thinking about doing that one more time here and see if there's any possibility that he can do that. But the same thing, we're not going to put him out there in harm's way. If he's not able to function at a high level, you know, we're not going to throw him back out there. And listen, I know there's probably some fans out there, you know, why the heck would you play Alvin Kamara? Why the heck would you play Derek Carr? These guys want to play. And, you know, it's my job to respect their wishes. Both these guys are captains, they're leaders. They've been unbelievable for our locker room. And the fact of the matter is, you know, we're 5-5 this year with Derek Carr as our starting quarterback. We're 0-5 without him. And that's just we can slice it and dice it however many ways we want. The bottom line is, you know, we've won 5 games with Derek, a quarterback. We've lost 5, and 3 of those 5 games that we lost were by 3 points or less. So because he gives us the best chance to win. And so as far as Tampa Bay goes, you know, listen, I said to the team this morning, I actually love the fact that they're playing to get into the playoffs. I don't want to go down and play a team that's, you know, sitting their quarterback or their star players or whatever. I want our team to be challenged. You know, we got a lot of young guys right now that we're still trying to evaluate. We got a lot of professionals in the building that want to finish this season strong. And we got a lot of guys that are pissed off about how the last 2 weeks have gone. And so they want to go out there and they want to put a better football on tape. And that's really the bottom line.
Need to take another break. We're talking with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. And I'm going to finish up with our final segment talking about kind of Tampa, right? So they are playing good football. That loss to Dallas is really the only blemish in the last 5 or 6 weeks. But they also put 51 points on you in Caesars Superdome back in week 6. So, man, there's a lot going on in this game. And this is a team, you, the Saints, that have played well in Tampa.
Yeah, you said it, Mike. There's a lot going on in this game. You got a team that's, you know, if they win, they're in. They win the division. You got a division, you know, obviously a huge rivalry for us. You know, we're trying to bounce back and finish the season strong after not playing very well the last 2 weeks. That's been noted. Lot of respect for Todd Bowles, the whole organization. Liam Cohen does a great job. I've worked with many other guys on their staff before. Casey Rogers, George Edwards, you know, just have done a really great job on the defensive side of the ball. You look what they're doing offensively with Liam as the OC and the year that Baker's had and Bucky Irvin, the rookie running back, Mike Evans having another huge year. And so they got it rolling right now. And, you know, we played such a roller coaster game the last time we played them. You talk about the tale of two halves. That was one of those games as well. And, you know, but really at the end of the day, it comes down to us making the corrections from the last couple of weeks. As I said, you know, we love a challenge. You know, we need to finish up this season on a strong note, and that's really, you know, what our goal is this week. Put a great week of practice together, go down there with a great game plan, and go out and execute it. And I love the fact that it'll be a great competition, but certainly nothing but respect for them and their organization, their head coach, Not only is a great coach, he's a great friend, and you know, but there's nothing more we want to go down there and to ruin their playoff chances. So that's what we have to, you know, in order to do that, we got to play a sound, fundamental game in all three phases, which we haven't done here in a couple weeks.
Coach Rizzi, looking at the offense and defense side of the ball, first I'm going to go with the defense. To me, this is unacceptable. 38 sacks on the season. To me, you can talk about quarterback hurries, quarterback hits. That needs to be in the high 40s, low 50s, because we've done that in the past if you want to be amongst the best. I thought Cam had a nice game. He ended up coming up with a sack. But right now, we only had 38 with one game left to play. I want you to comment on that. And I don't know if I've ever seen this. This is like post-Katrina. You know, I'm coming back. I'm in New Orleans doing the radio. I know we've always been efficient as far as third down offense. But right now, we had like 37%. No, that's what you want your defense to be in the 30s. That's one thing to me. And obviously yesterday, we were like 0-9 at one time. Ended up 1-10. But our third down offense overall, Coach Kubiak, we changed how we're going to do things and all that. But no matter who's really been the quarterback, third down offense, and nothing to write home about this season.
Yeah, Bobby, I'll start on the defensive side of the ball with the sacks. You know, that you mentioned the turnovers earlier about how they come in bunches. That's kind of been the case for us with the sacks also. You're right. We've had a bunch of near misses. We've had a bunch of QB hits as releasing the ball. You know, we had the 8 sacks, obviously, against Jaden Daniels. So when I say they come in bunches, you know, that's what I mean. But, you know, listen, you know, we got to make a mad dash to the finish here in both those areas. You mentioned us getting sacks, and you mentioned third down. I'll speak on that. Offensively, you know, it's the one thing here in the last few weeks, particularly after Derek got hurt. You mentioned it hasn't been great all year, but we would start a trend in the right direction for the first few weeks after I took over, and then these last few weeks, not so much. I think one of the biggest reasons that our offensive third down numbers haven't been as good as we needed to be is we're not getting ourselves into third down efficient, you know, third down and mediums. Our third down efficiency has been lousy because we're not, our first and second down efficiency has been lousy in terms of down and distance. And so these third and mediums, third and longs, they're hard to get in this league. You know that from playing quarterback. And even when you play, they were hard to get back then too. And so we've got to make those numbers come back up north for sure, get them back to where, you know, respectable numbers, I agree. If I had to take one stat from the game yesterday and say it was a stat of the game, it was third down. I mean, the Raiders were 10 of 18, whatever that is, 56%. And we were like you said, we were 1-10, and we were 0-9 before we were 1-10. So that was the number one stat of the game. We couldn't sustain drives, and then we couldn't get ourselves off the field and get our offense back on the field. And that's been the case really here the last 2 weeks. So we got to get back to doing a better job in that area. I completely agree with you, and I think that'll be a huge part of this game this Sunday.
Well, Coach, good luck to you. One more. You can only tackle what's in front of you, and that's Tampa Bay. Good luck against the Buccaneers, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, I appreciate you. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, and I appreciate the support all year. Thank you so much.
You too. Same to you. Happy New Year. Well, let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network, we're going to talk to a former NFL defensive back, and now he's in his second year as the Saints secondary coach, Marcus Robertson. He'll join us next on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Time to go behind the scenes with this week's Saints assistant coach, brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints, and that is Saints defensive backs coach Marcus Robertson in his second year with the Saints, 17-year NFL veteran, also played, of course, in the NFL. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. So just, you know, obviously, you know, just kind of like the offensive line, I mean, we don't probably don't talk about it as much, but the impact of the injuries, Paulson Adebo is out since week 7, Marshawn Lattimore traded. So a lot of guys having to step up. Alante Taylor goes back to the outside. Ugo Amadi, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I guess just before we kind of get into the, you know, dive deep into this, just your overall assessment of how you feel the secondary has, you know, stood up.
I mean, well, obviously, anytime you lose players of that magnitude in the back end, it's going to be very difficult to, you know, replace those guys. But we actually just expect these guys to come in here and the standard is a standard. We expect the standard to be raised. But at the same time, when you got guys who haven't had as much time on task, you got to move them around to different locations in the back end. It takes a little bit of a minute to adjust. And unfortunately, you don't have that time from week to week.
You know, Coach Robinson, a lot like you were saying, look at the Raiders. They had 17 starters out. And really, we've been snake bit, I'd say, more on the offensive side of the ball. Now, I know Lattimore, we traded him to Washington, and obviously we're missing really just one starter, if you think about it, that being Paulson Adebo with his broke leg. And where we've been ranked and nothing to write home about defensively, simply because, you know, the fan base. That's what they tell me. Bobby, well, if we can't count on our defense, what are we going to count on? And we've been, you know, if you look at it recent years, I'm looking, COVID wasn't that long ago. The Saints were a perennial top 10 defense. Like I said, just a few years ago, ranked amongst the league leaders in both scoring defense and yards allowed. 2020, 2021, 2022 season. But you look right now, we like 30th. And so that's what a lot of fans are ticked off at that. Is that, well, if we're not a top 10 defense, we have no chance. So I don't know how you comment on that, but that's just how they feel about where our defense is at right now.
No, we're ranked when we're ranked, and I believe it's completely unacceptable. But these guys are, you know, they're putting in the work every single week, and they're giving us everything they got. And we just got to find a way to just make one more play per game. I mean, it's not as if when you get these type of injuries and this type of time of year, you know, you can miss one or two guys here or there and they get away with a couple plays here or there or a couple games here and there. But when you start missing guys for, you know, half the season or get season ending injuries, you're asking guys who you weren't expecting to have to play at such a high level. To come in there and play at a high level. And sometimes it just takes time. It just takes time.
Now, when you talk about taking time, and obviously look like Jordan Howell, you look at the safety. Obviously, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, we all know the skins he has on the wall. And, a lot of fans, they recognize, said, boy, I remember, we had that consistency with Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams. And it just seems like on the back end that we've been a little inconsistent. Now, you can maybe look at, the corners, too. That's one thing they've asked me about. What is your assessment about the safety position where we're at right now?
Well, I mean, when you look at what we replaced with Will Harris, I think Will Harris is having a really good season. I feel like he's playing at a really good level. Closer to the LOS, we're not getting as many opportunities in the back end to get our hands on some balls when you really look at it. Cause one of the things you love about Tyrann Mathieu is his ability to go be able to get the ball or take the ball out of the air. And we just don't have those opportunities because we're fighting, kick, squalling, scratching, trying to stay in every single game that we're not getting attacked that type of way. You got teams that are trying to protect themselves, a conservative passing game. And then when you think about Howden, he's improving, he's growing up, okay, but like it's going to take time. I remember when I came in, at my third year, I got it. You know what I'm saying? I realized what it took to be in this football league, and I excel moving forward. So, I mean, these guys just got to grow. You know, it's no different than, you know, a rookie quarterback coming into the league. It's not easy, because if it was, it'd be more people doing it.
And, Coach, talk about the growth and, on-the-job training, nothing bigger for Kool-Aid McKinstry. Didn't have the spring opportunities, but since week 11, he's basically played all of your defensive snaps. Kid's just 22 years old. He's had five passes defensed. I guess, what would you like to see his next elevation be? Like, if this were the season-ending interview with him, you're like, man, Kool-Aid, I want you to excel more at X. What would that be?
Well, I think, you know, when obviously, you know, when he came in training camp, you know, it was a situation where on the job training XYZ, he had a Debo, he had Lattimore in front of him. Not saying he took anything for granted, but I just would like to see more consistency out of him. He is going to be a solid defensive back in this league, and he just needs to be more consistent. He needs to understand what it's like to be a pro and how to be successful in this league. And, you know, each and every week, he is improving each and every week, and that's the good thing.
Now, you know, Coach Robinson, would you consider, I don't know, I think bang for your buck, Ugo Amadi? I think he's an overachiever. I think he gets the most out of his ability, whether you're putting him at safety or he's a, you know, a safety that could play the nickel, the slot, and stuff. I think Ugo, Kool-Aid, if you could just, with your ability and your potential, if you could just follow kind of like what Ugo Amadi's doing, then you can learn how to be a pro. Because to me, Ugo Amadi, what he's done with his talent, you might say, well, Bobby, he's more talented than you think. But I think he's gotten everything he can out of his ability, and he's been multidimensional, whether you could put him at safety or in that nickel position. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. I mean, he has came in and he has stepped up for us. And then the interesting thing is when you think about him at the, you know, inside at the nickel position, like his skill set, you know, in comparison to Alante, it's a totally different skill set. And like you said, he's given us everything he got. And I think, you know, he's played extremely well. When he stepped in, when his name has been called, and you know, there's sometimes where he's outmatched out there. But the one thing I could tell you about Ugo is, you know, he comes to work every single day, and he gives us everything he's got, and we appreciate him for that.
So, Coach, and you'll need everything he's got, and probably that and more against a Tampa, you know, receiving core, Mike Evans. You know, he's close to 1,000 yards again. Jalen McMillan's really come on strong. Bucky Irving, really, even out of the backfield. Kate Otten, if he comes back to play at tight end. I mean, they've got 7 receivers listed right now on their active. I mean, this is – and they got everything to play for. This will be a stern test as ever for your secondary.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to it. You know, I mean, our thing is for us is we'll step up to the challenge. It's a Russian coverage game, and we're gonna give Tampa hell. Trust me.
You know, Coach Robinson, when I look at and breaking down more players, you know, a great success story. It doesn't matter where you come from. And you tell somebody he's from Pittsburgh State, they think in Pennsylvania. I said, no, that's in Kansas. Rico Payton. I think that's been a great young success story considering how he's worked and put himself in position, you know, to be a part of the team.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Rico Payton, I mean, he's came in here and he has shown a lot. You know, he really impressed us in the preseason. Came in, had a phenomenal training camp, and right now he is playing some top-notch football on the special team side of the ball. And you know, he's had a couple plays here this season, and he's played well for us. So we're looking forward to him and his development and his growth, and he is contributing big time for us as a special teams player right now.
Well, Coach, appreciate your time. Best of luck this week in Tampa. And, you know, as you say, go give them hell.
Exactly. Thanks so much.
You bet. Also, Bobby, I want to say goodbye to you, my friend. Appreciate all of your help, as always.
All right, Hoss. Yeah, hopefully we finish the season with a win. And rain on Tampa Bay's parade.
There you go. Thank you, Bobby. We'll be back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints. And when we come back, we'll go back to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. But Mike Dettillier will join us, talk about the NFC South and really the games that are still on board to be decided. No NFC number one seed yet. That and more when we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. And now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettillier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints, and back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Mike, man, the NFL schedule makers, it's better to be, you know, lucky than good. And I'm not ironically talking about the Monday night game, which I think a few weeks ago looked unbelievable, but not so much tonight. Detroit and San Francisco, doesn't really matter, but there's still so much out there left undone. Don't know who's going to win the NFC South. You don't know who's going to win, who has the number one seed. Detroit could be one or five. I mean, next, you know, tonight's game doesn't mean a lot. I mean, it actually could, but then you got to bring in ties, so I won't talk about that. But next week, it's a lot on the line.
Oh, I heard Dan Campbell make this comment. Man, it means a lot to me. Guess who knocked us out of the Super Bowl last year? 49ers. So his deal is, yeah, it means a hell of a lot to me. And you can tell with Dan, I think, you know, just his edge. Because he knows that, you know, everybody's looking for this coming weekend's game against the Vikings. But he's trying to get his team ready. You know, motivation, so to speak, and understanding that the 49ers, man, Detroit had them for a while, Mike. They had them. And then, man, they left them off the hook. And the 49ers were able to win that game late. So I see his angle where he's coming from. And I know where he learned that from, too, Sean Payton. Sean was the exact same way. He'd always try to find some angle to get a team's attention and focus.
So the way Week 18 will work, Detroit hosts Minnesota next Sunday night, irrespective of what happens in tonight's game with San Francisco. And the winner is the number one seed and home field advantage. Now, they're both indoor buildings, so you know that aspect won't play a part. But it's just amazing how it's going to come down to one game and those two teams who've had such unbelievable seasons. Maybe Minnesota more so, only because you know we didn't probably expect it with the rookie quarterback getting hurt and all that they've been through.
Yeah, it was a surprise. Minnesota's the surprise. I think we all thought Green Bay would be a good team. We knew Detroit would be a very good team. Minnesota, not a lot of people had them on the dance card before the season started. And look how well they played with Sam Darnold. And you got to give Kevin O'Connell a lot of credit here, but also, too, what Brian Flores has done on the defensive side of football. Man, you lose a guy like Daniil Hunter, and you think, you know, your defense is going to take a step back. And man, they create a lot of turnovers. They put a lot of pressure on you from a lot of different ways. And so, man, the Vikings really have been the surprise team in the NFC all across the board.
Let's move on now to next week's opponent, brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing First in service, that being Tampa Bay. The very, very hot Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat Carolina 48-14 in Tampa yesterday. And Baker Mayfield, I mean, when he's on, he was 27 of 32 for 359, two sacks and five touchdowns, 84%. I mean, you go stand in the backyard with somebody and you throw it 32 times just playing catch, you might drop a few. He only had five incompletions. I mean, when he's on, he makes that offense so – he's also the third leading rusher, right? So he just it all goes kind of as Baker goes.
I think one of the big differences, Mike, maybe from when Brady was there, was they were not a really good running team. And now they are with Rashad White. And then they use a middle-round pick to get Bucky Irving, who's a little runner, but, man, he's so quick. He's really fast, former Oregon running back. And that 1-2 tandem has really worked for them. And it's given them a running game they have not had in the past. And they had to go that route for a couple reasons. One, I think they want to be a more physical football team. Secondly, remember, Chris Godwin goes down mid-season. And so, man, you needed somebody to step up to get some of that yardage that Godwin was getting weekly. And he was such a good receiver for him. And they were able to get that with their running game. But Baker, you know, he joins an elite class because with 42 touchdowns, that's only 13 quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League that has thrown for 42 or more touchdowns in a season. Baker Mayfield's part of that group this year for what he's been able to do. A rebuild offensive line, and we're talking about this earlier. Got a lot of respect for what, you know, Jason Light did with Tampa. That was an older team. A couple years back, and you know, you saw, you know, with Brady's age and Gronkowski and Ndamukong Suh, and then, you know, all of that all of a sudden left, but they had a lot of dead cap money. So they had to hit on the draft. The last 3 years, every draft choice they have is either on the roster or on injured reserve. Man, you've hit there, and that's sort of scary for Saints fans because they ain't going nowhere the way they select, and you've gotten yourself out of that cap bad situation now, being able to get a lot of young players on your football team. Jason Light's done a tremendous job retooling that Bucs team, and to think, you know, just with a win over the Saints, four straight years NFC title, and Baker would have been part of two of them. You know, you would have said that, you know, Brady there, you could understand. But now it's Baker Mayfield and how that's worked out, and first with Dave Canales and then bringing in Cohen to come in to coach the quarterbacks and run the offense. That thing has run so smooth, and they got that guy, Mike Evans, who's always, you know, a big-time player despite his age. His ability to make those contested catches and, you know, plays on the deeper passes, that's what he's known for.
And so this defense, Saints defense, has to show up in, if you know, huge. And it typically have been low-scoring games down there in Tampa, the way the schedule has worked out recently. But they're going to need another one of those. Anything you can get, field goals, any, you know, it goes back to what Bobby said earlier in the show, and it's turnovers. I mean, that's what you know, that's the great equalizer of a team that doesn't have the talent that the Saints don't have right now, Tampa Bay. Man for man, they just don't. Turnovers are the great equalizer.
No question about it. And two is they're going to have to stop the run. Mike, that is first and foremost. Yeah. If you can't stop the run, you're in a lot of trouble. And now you're playing a team that really runs the football well. Now, you couldn't have said that 3 years ago or even 2 years ago, but you can say it today. They hit you with that 1-2 punch with Rashad and Bucky Irvin. And, man, they come after you. And all those offensive linemen, every one of those guys are young, kind of long-term guys for them. Defensively is where they've had a lot of injuries. And not having Antoine Winfield Jr., man, that's a big loss for them. Because he was the guy, if you were looking for a big turnover, Winfield was going to get it. Either a punched-out football for a fumble or an interception. And he's missed a lot of time this year. Unusual for him.
Tough for Saints fans, right? What do you root for this weekend? That's right.
I know one thing. Put yourself being a Falcons fan. You got to pull for the Saints. Mike, how many times has that happened since they've come into, you know, the league in 67? I would say probably on two fingers you could count it.
Yeah, I would agree. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Mike Dettelier at the Silver Slipper Casino with Bobby Hebert. Always appreciate your insight. It is going to be the Saints and Tampa Bay Sunday at noon. Atlanta and Carolina playing at the same time. Saints trying to finish the season on a win and, as Coach Rizzi said, ruin the playoff hopes of Tampa Bay. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth tonight. Thanks to Darren Rizzi, Marcus Robertson, Bobby Hebert, as well as Mike Dettelier. Have a happy new year, everyone, and we will see you next week here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network.